we're holding on Samach Gimel Amud Bez, seven lines from the bottom. We started talking about yesterday. We have the case in the Mishnah where a father says, "I received Kiddushin on behalf of my daughter, but I'm not sure from who." And then one person or two people come with claims that they're the one. So we discussed who's Rav had said that we believe if one person comes, we believe him to say that he can give her a get, so she's allowed to marry anybody else, but not to marry her because what if Yitzhak took for it? What if he's listening to his Yetzer Hara and he wants to live with her and then marry her even though she's an Eishes Ish? Rav Asi had said we believe him even to marry her, and then we discussed a few different permutations of it. What if it's not her father who says it, but she herself who says it? And then we started talking about what about based on what the father says, could she actually get skila? If the father says, or if she herself says that she was Mekodesh and now she's Mezana with somebody else, could there be skila? Rav says no, and Rav Asi says yes.
In both cases the same.
So we said that Rav would say that the Torah gives an amonus to the father to say that he accepted Kiddushin on behalf of his daughter, but only as far as Rav says, only as far as that she's considered married, but not as far
That's
as to
right.
the extent, not only to the extent that she's also to everybody else, not necessarily as far as Missa. And Rav Asi had said that it would be as far as Missa as well, although Rav Asi says not if she herself says, "I was Mekodesh to somebody," then that's not a valid enough basis to give her skila. Because we said the logic was that the logic was since the Torah gives an amonus to the father, therefore when he says she's Mekodesh, then Rav Asi says that's strong enough not only to say that she's married, but even to say that Missa should apply. On the other hand, when she herself says, so she's making herself chaticha di isura, shavi nafsha chaticha di isura. She's saying that she's also to everybody else. But on the other hand, we can't give her Missa on the basis of that unless we have Edim that she's actually Mekodesh.
It's not, I know, even though she's pushed.
It's not consistent.
And Adam of the Znus, right. What? Yeah.
It's not consistent. In one case,
well, that's what we said
in one
yesterday.
case you need Adam.
So that's what we said
In one
yesterday.
case you need Adam, and in the other case you don't.
Right. So Rav Asi had pointed that out himself. That's why he said yesterday, we learned, he said that what I'm saying seems to like break the roofs. It seems to be very inconsistent. If anything, the same way as we're saying on the basis of what the father says, and you could even allow somebody to marry her on the basis of that. Somebody can come and say, "I'm the one who was Mekadosh her," and we allow him to marry her, and we still say skila would apply. How much more so when she herself says, "I'm Mekadosh," we don't even allow a claimant to come and marry her in case she's actually Mekodesh to somebody else. Why shouldn't Skila apply? But the fact is that the Torah gives an amonus to the father. We don't find that the Torah gives an amonus to her herself. So there can be Shavya Nafsha Chaticha de Isura. She makes herself, she's saying, in effect, "I am also to everybody." However, that's not enough evidence for us to give her Skila. For that, you would need, of course, you need Eidos that she was Mezana. That's a given either way. But you need Eidos in addition that she is, or some other kind of evidence that she is, in fact, Mekodesh. Just her say so is not enough.
But you want she's in bed.
We've been talking about she's a girl, yeah. So now the Gemara continues. V'Rav Chista Omar. Now, Rav Chista says, similar to Rab, Echad Zeh Ve'Echad Zeh Ein Soiklin. That you don't, either way, you don't give her skila. Whether it's the father saying, "I received Kiddushin on her behalf," whether it's the girl herself saying, "I received Kiddushin for myself," either way, if after, and again, we don't have any other Edim or any, we don't have any Edim or any other proof that that Kiddushin took place, then if afterwards she's Mezana, then Ein Soiklin, we don't give skila. Va'azder of Chista l'taymei. In that, Rav Chista is going according to his own Svara. The Omer of Chista, as we find, Rav Chista says in a different context that a father that where the point he's going to develop out of the statement he makes over here is the father is believed to a certain extent to say about his child's age, but not to the extent of skila. So the Omer of Chista, if a father says Bni zeh ben teisha shanu yemechad, this son of mine is 9 years old or older, and at that point already his bia is considered a bia in halacha. Or he says, "Biti zubas shalosh shanim v'yemechad." My daughter is 3 years old and 1 day or older, which means again that bia with her is considered bia in halacha, So either way, in other words, for example, if at that point this son or this daughter were to be mezana with somebody else, then they wouldn't be chayiv misa, they're still ketanim, but the other person would be chayiv misa, or malchus, or korban, or whatever it is, because it's already considered bia. So in those cases, neman l'korban, then we believe the father insofar as the korban. So say, for example, now his nine-year-old son did bia with a grown woman who's an eshes ish. So she, if it was b'shoigig, let's say, she would be chayiv a korban. Avaloy l'makas v'loy l'onshin. But not as far as giving malchus, and not as far as other kinds of penalties such as misa. So this is similar to what Rav Chista is saying, that the father is believed to say that his daughter is mekudosh, but not to the extent of saying that she's chayiv misa for the znus.
The other party who is a doyle is not chayiv misa.
So she would be chayiv misa, but in this case, all we have is the father's say so that his son is 9 years old. If we had so we have, let's say, in other words, we have Edim that there was Znus over here, but we only have the father's say so that the boy is 9 years old. Or not, it could actually be. We're talking about that there is no other Edim. We have the father himself is saying that he knows that this took place. Well, that's not enough. You need two Edim for Misa. But the point is that the main point we're developing over here, though, is that we need evidence external to the father that the boy is old enough, that the boy is already 9 years old, and therefore that there would be misa for the other partner. You know, if it's only the father saying, my son is 9 years old, that's not enough evidence.
But next neighbor say, you ask, remember Bristol is a business day.
So that would be that could constitute Adris, sure. In fact, Tosfos discusses over here that. A few different things. First of all, often what you have is now in the case of 9 years old, it's not always easy to tell. In the case of a 13 years old, which is the next thing in Rav Chista's statement, actually Tosfos points out sometimes you can have, for example, let's say he has a lot of Cyrus, not just Shtei Cyrus. Then already that's strong enough evidence that he's well over 13 years old. So therefore, you wouldn't necessarily need the father to say anything. Here we're talking about, let's say, he only has Shtei Cyrus and he's still short. So therefore, we need the father to be telling us that he's 13, and when without that, we're not going to know. Also, Tosfos points out that another way of looking at it is that you could have where the father says, for example, that it wasn't recently; it was a year or two back that he ate chaylev or did whatever. So we have no way of checking now except trusting the father's neamonus. So then Rav Chista is saying that he has neamonus for that. In fact, by the way, Tosfos says pretty much only the father does as far as that. Other people, I mean, if they come as Adris, fine, but if they're just saying it as a statement, if you have one other person, somebody else may not pay such close attention to his age. The father knows his son's age. Therefore, we can say that he, even as one aide, is believed to testify but his son's age, but not necessarily somebody else. Now, if, like you say, if the neighbors say, we remember his bris or something, and they come as aidim, that's different. That's actual aides.
And this carbon against for what?
The carbon would be, for example, if she, let's say, so this boy, 9 years old, had relations with an HSH, and she, and let's say she was shogig, with him it doesn't matter, shogig or mazid, either way. She didn't realize that it's also whatever. It doesn't matter exactly. There can be various cases of shogig. Anyway, so
she thought he was a cousin.
Whatever the case is. Anyway, the point is she's chayav a korban chatas. It's a case of that would be koris b'mezid if there's no aid in basra. Therefore, there's a chatas b'shogig. Similarly continues Rav Chista. So that's it. So Rav Chista is saying that if a father says about his son that he's 9 years old or my daughter is 3 years old, then he's believed as far as the korban, but not as far as, misa or malchus or anything like that. So Tanya Kavasei de Rav Chista, we learn a braisa like what Rav Chista says. If the father says nizeh ben shloishes yoshanim yemechad, if the father says my son is 13 years old in a day, and again, like Tosfos is talking about, we can be talking about where the boy doesn't yet look like a gadol, he's still short, and he only has developed just barely shtei cyrus, and you don't know whether he's actually 13 years old yet or not. Or biti zubas shtei mes yoshanim yemechad, or my daughter is 12 years old, same thing. Neman nedarim, we believe him as far as nedarim, that if this child makes a neder, then the neder is chal. V'lacharomim, if they declare something cherem, which is a type of hektish, then that will also work. Tosfos, by the way, points out that usually we have that Eidechod Neman B'Surin only when it's B'Yodoy, only when it's something he's capable of accomplishing. Here it's not something that the father is capable of making the child be a certain age. But the answer is, Tosfos says he is eventually going to grow up. So therefore, it's considered B'Yodoy. And again, the point is the father, we believe, because he's careful about it. And not only it's careful, actually, I should say, because Tosfos says it's the father's job to inform others how old his child is, as far as the relevance of various dinim, other people not. So if somebody else, in other words, were to come and say this child is 13 as one aid, that wouldn't necessarily be enough to say that his neder is a neder and so forth. Anyway, the charomim. Also, as far as regular hekdesh, as far as if he declares an erech, for himself or for somebody else, but not as far as malchus and not as far as oinshin, such as misa. So that bears out the Rav Chisda's point that the Torah gives the father a nemonus as far as his child's age, but only to a limited extent. So now when Rav Chisda said before that, if similarly, if the father says, "I accepted kedushin on behalf of my daughter," But we don't have any other edim to substantiate that. And then she was mizana, and we have edim that she was mizana. Nevertheless, she can't be chayiv misa for it because we only have the father say so that she's mekudesh in the first place. The same way over here, as we're saying, we only have the father say so that the boy is 9 or 13, as the case may be.
This is only be kedushin, but if this were the whole seminary, they went through the whole part of Adim.
Then there's going to be Adim. If there's going to be Adim, then there's nothing to talk about. We're talking about here exclusively when it's the father himself alone who's saying it. Okay. Mishnah says, a father says, Kidashti es biti. The father says, I received kedushin on behalf of my daughter. Kidashtiya v'gerashtiya kshitana. And so now I received kedushin and I received her get, and she's still a ktana. So in other words, when he's saying all of this, she's still a ktana. We know, we've learned before that as a ktana, that he had that when she's a ktana, he has the right to receive her get. So Naaman, then we believe him. Hagoy Sagura points out the kidashti es biti is also referring to that she's a ktana. So in other words, you have two cases. One, he says, I received kedushin on her behalf, and she's still a ktana. And the other one would be saying, I received her divorce, I received her get, and she's still a ktana. Kidashtiya v'gerashtiya kshitana v'harei gdoila. On the other hand, if he says that I received her kedushin, I received her get when she's a ktana, but now by the time he says that she's a gdoila, he never said anything when she was a ktana, ain't a nemon, then we don't believe him that she was divorced, and she will be mutter to marry a koyin, now he says. Because he only has nemonus as long as she's a ktana, as we'll see in the Gemara. Why?
Obviously, there's no
paper. Obviously, again, we're talking paper about lost. As usual, there's no edim.
No paper.
The papers are lost, and there's no edim yet, etc. On the other hand, nishbis, if he says that she was captured by goyim, where there we have, as we learned in Masechta Ksubos, the concern that they may have raped her, and she would be also to a koyim, and ufti siha, and he says then I redeemed her. I ransomed her. Ben she ktana, ben she gdola. Then, whether he says this when she's a ktana or when she's a gdola, ain't a nemon, then we don't believe him, and she still remains mutter to marry a kohen. Why the difference is, again, we'll see in the Gemara.
Hold on.
So the Gemara asks, Maishna Resho, Maishna Seifa. Why is it that we believe him to say that she's divorced, but not to say that she was, captured? Or for that matter, really the question is on both. Why is it that if he's saying I received her divorce and now she's a gdola, we don't believe him. And also that if he says at any time during her life that she was captured and I ransomed her, we don't believe him. Why do we have cases in the Mishnah where we don't believe him? Where in the Reisha we said that if he says kidashtiya v'gerashtiya kshiktana, and he says this when she's a ktana, nemens. So the answer is,
In general, when a ktana gets married, and then she gets divorced, she doesn't automatically take her out of her father when she's married.
Only if there was nisuin. If there was eros, you were talking about there was only. Thank you for mentioning that. Actually, I forgot. Only if there was eros. You're right. Once there was nisuin, she's out of her father's reshus, so then he doesn't receive her get. We're talking about that the divorce was from erosin, so then she goes back to her father's reshus. Thank you. Anyway, so the Gemara answers. The difference is Reisha B'yodeh Seifa La B'yodeh. Because in the Reisha, when she's still a Ktana, he has full rights to be Mekadosh her to somebody else or to receive a get for him. So therefore, to receive a get for her. So therefore, it's a case of Malo the Shaka. It's like a Migri. He has other ways of passeling her. He could actually marry her off to somebody and then receive a get, and then she'd be possible kohona. Sefer la biyodeh, as opposed to in the sefer where she's already a god, where she's already a gdola, he can't accept her kedushin anymore. He also is not going to be able to give her over to goyim that she should be a shvuya, that she should be captured among them. So therefore, it's not biyodeh, it's not in his hand to accomplish any of these things. So even when she's a ktana. So therefore, then I mean, obviously, he could physically hand her over to goyim, but we're not talking about altar but a shiya skinan. We're not talking about a Rosha who would do that. So it's not biyodeh, so that's the difference. Well, the Gemara asks Veloy, so you're telling me that not? What are you talking about? Even when she's a Ktana, he has the ability to make her possel a kohona through marriage. Now, so what do you have? In other words, there's one way of passeling her to marry a Kohen would be that she gets married, or rather Mekudeshes, whatever, and then he receives her get. But there's another way that she could become possel to marry a Kohen that doesn't involve her becoming a Shavuya. Doesn't he have the ability to marry her off to a cholol, which we're going to learn extensively in the next parak, that when a cholol marries a Jewish girl, then she becomes a cholola. Now it's a perfectly good marriage. There's no isser in halacha for a cholol to marry a bas Yisrael. Nevertheless, their children are considered cholalim, and she herself is considered a cholola. Cholola is one of the women who is also to marry a kohen. So now this father has a daughter. He has the capability, while she's a ktana, to marry her off to a cholol. Right then and there, as soon as the cholol marries her, as soon as they do chuppah, then she's also to a kohen. So now it's true, it's out of the father's hands. At that point, it's up to the cholol whether he divorces her, or if the cholol dies, either way, she's also to a kohen, as if she was a shvuya. So it is biyodeh to a certain extent to the father of the father. So fine, the father can't make her a shvuya per se, but he's able to make her posel a kohuna. So why don't we consider that biyodeh? Have any biyodeh la'asil cholo to kaposel a kohuna, and by doing that, he'll make her posel to marry a kohen. The answer is holei kasha. That's not a problem because could have destroyed Rabbi Yehuda, because the Tana of our Mishnah may hold like Rabbi destroyed Rabbi Yehuda. The Amam Bnois Yisrael Mikvah Tara L'Chalolim. He says Jewish women are like a mikveh that makes chalolim tahor. Meaning, in other words, we're going to learn this in the next parak that he holds that no, as a matter of fact, that the children of a cholol, Rabbi Destori learns, will be kosher l'kohona. If the cholol and his wife have a daughter, that daughter, Rabbi Destori says, will be kosher to marry a kohen. In effect, it's as though the cholol's seed became tahor in his wife, as though his wife is a mikvah tahara, and now the children emerge as tahor.
Boy also?
Practically speaking, he's not a kohen anymore, but in other words, the point is a girl will be able to marry a kohen. And the point is, Rashi goes on to say, now, we have a general rule, which we're going to learn in the next parak, that anytime you have a person who you're allowed, where a kohen is allowed to marry his daughter, then a kohen would also be able to marry his widow. Therefore, it comes out, according to Rabbi Stoy, this woman who married the cholol is not, in fact, also a kohuna. So therefore, you're back to the father has no way of assuring his daughter to a kohen, except by literally making her shvuya, which he's not going to do.
If she dies, then she's a halal, and she dies.
So that's the point. If a halala herself would be a girl who's born from a marriage between a kohen and a woman, he's not allowed to. A kohen marries a grusha, for example, their daughter is a halala. No question about that. Rabbi Stoy agrees to that. What we're saying is, when you have a halal, a kohen and his wife, a grusha, have a boy, and he's a halal. If that halal now grows up and marries a basi sirel, the Chachamim are going to hold that their children, their sons are halolim and their daughters are halolois, and still can't marry kohenim. Rabbi Destori holds that no, the children will not be halolim, and therefore, if it's a daughter, she'd be able to marry a kohen, and the widow herself would be able to marry a kohen. She has not been nischalol by having the halol marry her and have relations with her. Therefore, Rabbi Destori would say, and our Mishnah would follow that, says the Gemara, that there's no way for the father to make his daughter posel a kohona short of actually making her a shvuya, which he's not going to do. So therefore, so we can say it's not biyodoy to make her a shvua, to make her a shvuya, and therefore that still explains the case of our Mishnah, why we don't believe him, whether she's a Tana or a Gdola, to say that she was a shvuya. Tosfos Yishonim points out another detail of that as well, that if in fact the Chola were to make her possible a Kohuna by having relations with her, then in fact the children of necessity would be possible. And since Rabbi Stoi says the children are kosher, necessarily the wife has to be kosher as well. So it's arriving at the same din that Rashi says, but arriving at it by a different route. Whatever, if it's confusing, then let's not go into it. We'll talk about this more in the next paragraph.
Now, a someone who's shvuya, isn't there a koil?
No, so there's two different things. There's a shvuya and then there's a chalol. Let's not confuse that. When a woman is a shvuya, not necessarily is there a koil. There might be, there might not be. But it doesn't matter. When there's gerushin, there's usually also a koil. And nevertheless, we're still saying the father is believed when she's a tana. The question is, fine, but don't we have that the father conceivably could marry off to a mamzer, and that would also be the equivalent of making her like a shvuya? A mamzer for sure passels her to ever marry a kohen. And the fact is, it would only be an isur lav, so therefore kedushin would be tofus. So he has the capability of doing that. So why don't we believe him when he says she's a shvuya? In effect, again, we have the same migui, the same thing that Rashi mentioned before, that once it's biyode, then maloi l'shaker, he has the ability to passel her himself. Well, he has the ability to passel her to ever marry a kohen by marrying her off to a mamzer. So the answer is Rabbi Akiva. We can say our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva. Dama in kedushin types in b'chay v'lavin. Rabbi Akiva says that kedushin are not effective with chay v'lavin, since there's an isur lav for a mamzer to marry a bas Yisrael, then therefore so it would be an avera, and we don't believe him. So he has no ability to do it in a way that the kedushin would actually take effect. So he may have accepted kedushin for her, but that doesn't mean that but the kedushin wouldn't have actually taken effect according to Rabbi Akiva, because kedushin can't take effect with chay v'lavin.
And would that work also? Let's not go to Rabbi Akiva, according to other people, if the father married off to mamzer, would the same thing apply?
The fact would be that she would be also to marry a kohen.
Okay, later on, even the second generation according to
because we're going to learn later on in the parak that mamzerus goes from generation to generation, and it goes according to whichever one. If one member of the couple is a mamzer, then the children afterwards are mamzerim and so forth. Yeah, but that has nothing to do with this anyway.
Well, it doesn't go away like a chalala.
No, right. The Ran, by the way, mentions a point over here we're saying in effect we're only believing the father where what he's doing is mutter. The fact is that for example, to marry her off to a mamzer would be osir, so therefore to that extent then the Torah is not necessarily accepting what the father says, because the whole point of a migri is he could do this, and we don't assume that he could do an aveira. Yeah. that's one point that Ran says. And the Ran makes a couple of points over here. One is that you can only accept the migri only when you're going to accept all of it. So for example, when he says his daughter is a shvuya, it has two things that come from it. Number one, she can't marry a kohen. Number two, if she's a bas kohen, she can't eat truma. Now, if he says that, on the other hand, if he says that she got divorced, then it's only one thing. She's also to a kohen. She's still mutter to eat truma. So we don't have a migri when he says that when he says she's a shvuya, that we don't have a migri that he could have said I accepted a divorce on a get on her behalf, because then that would have two consequences, whereas in the other case you'd have only one. And then another point is that the Ran makes a point that the whole concept that the father has ne'amonus is a chiddush, as we're going to learn at the end right before the next Mishnah, and therefore we can't necessarily extend it by means of a migri. Anyway, according to Rabbi Akiva, though, kiddushin are b'chlal not effective with a mamzer, and therefore there's no migri at all that the father could marry her off to a mamzer, and therefore we should believe him when he says she's a shvuya, because the kiddushin wouldn't even be tofus. Okay, the question is, Harebi Yadal Asiya Almona L'Kohen Gadol. Can he marry off, though, as an Almona, to marry off to a Kohen Gadol? So in other words, you can have, she's a Ktana, she was married, she was divorced, still from Aerosyn, so she's still under his rishus. Now he has the capability of marrying her off to a kohen gadol. V'chirab simoy, in which case we would go like Reb Simoy, the Tanya Reb Simoy, where we have Reb Simoy's understanding of Reb Akiva. I mean, I call Oser Reb Akiva mamzer. Reb Akiva holds that any marriage, any bia, which is Oser, the children are going to be mamzerim, says Reb Akiva. Chutz me amona l'kohen gadol. So in other words, even Chayvi Lavin, for example, with the exception of an amona l'kohen gadol, Sharei Amat Torah la yikach v'lo yichalo, because the Torah says he's not allowed to marry an amona, and he shouldn't make his children chalolim, implying chalolim oisa v'ein oisa mamzerim, implying that he only makes the children chalolim, but not mamzerim. So therefore, so you have the father still has biyadei to passel his daughter. So again, we should believe with a migui that she was a shruya because he has the capability of marrying her off in a way that will make her also a kohana. The answer is could have yeshiva. The answer is we have to say that no, that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yeshiva to Omar, where he says he has a different understanding of Rabbi Akiva. Show your Omer, who used to say boyo un saveach. Al Akiva ben Yosef, come, let's cry out and protest against Akiva ben Yosef, against Rabbi Akiva. Shahoya Oma Kol Sha'im Le Bia Bisrael of Vlad Mamzer. He says anybody where he's not allowed to do Bia among Jews, then the child is a Mamzer, which means that Rabbi Sheva understands Rabbi Akiva to be saying even Amon of the Kohen Gadol is going to be the children are going to be Mamzerim. If the children are Mamzerim, means Kedushan is not Tofus. So in other words, we were saying according to Rabbi Simoi. And Amona being the Kaddish, Kohen Gadol being the Kaddish and Amona would be Tofus, but now we have no. Rabbi Yeshiva's understanding of Rabbi Akiva would say it's not Tofus. So in that case, then there's no case where the father could say that his daughter is Posel Kohuna without actually being a Shavuya. And if the whole point is we're trying to develop a Migui over here, then you don't have one because you don't have another alternative. However, the Gemara says, now, there's two ways within Rabbi Yeshiva's own statement. There's two ways of understanding what Rabbi Yeshiva was saying. Hanichal Rabbi Yeshiva itaimed the nafshe, ila taimed the nafshe. If you say that Rabbi Yeshiva is saying an own independent statement of what Rabbi Akiva holds, then fine. It means, in other words, that now we have to consider when it comes to Isurei Bia, you have a number of different categories. You have ones that are chayav misa. You have ones that are chayav koris. You have ones where there's an isur lav, for example, a mamzer. And for example, an amon l'kohen gadol. And then you have where there's an isur eser. For example, so an example of an isur eser, the Torah tells us that a mitzri or a doimi ger is allowed to marry into the Jewish people after three generations. Meaning, so if a man becomes a man or a woman, it doesn't matter, la halacha, from Mitzrayim or from Edom, becomes a ger or geiris, their grandchild can marry a regular ben Yisrael or bas Yisrael. But until then, they're limited to marrying geiris or mamzeris or whatever. So now the Torah doesn't explicitly say they shall not marry in until the third generation. What it says is bonim asher yivoldu lahem dor shlishi yavoy lahem b'kal Hashem, that when the third generation comes, they're allowed, implying that up until that point they're not. Therefore, before that, there's an iser eser. Now, when Rabbi Yeshiva is saying that Rabbi Akiva says that kol she'en le'bia b'Yisrael of Vlad Mamzer, that the child will be a Mamzer and Kedushin aren't Tofus, is Rabbi Yeshiva also including in that Chayve Eser or not? So Hanicha, that's what the Gemara says. Hanicha Rabbi Yeshiva, either time of the Nafshe, if Rabbi Yeshiva was saying his own independent statement, so he's not coming to exclude what Rabbi Simoi says, he's saying his own independent understanding of what Rabbi Akiva means. So Shapir, then good, because it means Rabbi Yeshiva is including also Chayve Eser. So in that case, there's absolutely no case where there's a marriage that is also min haTorah on any grounds where the wife is not going to become posel l'kohana. So therefore, then fine. So therefore we have no migri at all. There's no possibility of the father saying my daughter is a shvuya, and we should believe him on the grounds that he could have done something else to put her in effect in the status of a shvuya by passing her to a kohen. Because according to Rabbi Yeshiva's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, then it would mean there is no other. There's no way that he could marry her off to somebody who would passel her l'korona. Ela ila puki mitaimed Rabbi Simoi kasi. But if you're going to say Rabbi Yeshiva was only coming to tell us, I don't agree with Rabbi Simoi's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Simoi had said that Rabbi Akiva would say that everybody is not Kiddushin or not Tofus except on one of the coin bottle, well, then that means Rabbi Yeshiva is also only addressing Chayve Lavin. In that case, so in that case, he's not addressing Chai Ve'Eser. In that case, Chai Ve'Eser are also to get married, but Kedushin are Toifus. So Harebi Yodel Asiyah L'Chai Ve'Eser. Wouldn't the father have the ability to marry her off to that, to a first or second generation Mitzri or Adoy Miger, for example? And then in that case, then it's Biyodai, and therefore we should have the Migri to say that he could have done that, and therefore we should believe him to say that she was a Shruya. So in other words,
And
then make her also to a Koyan as well as to eat Truma. That was the Ran's point before. It's one thing when he says Gerashtiha, that I received a get on her behalf, which only passes her from Kohuna, but not from Truma. Then we can talk about, we're not going to accept Migris for that, because any of the Migris we're talking about over here would also passel her for Truma, and we're not going to do that. We're not going to accept half of what he says. And the Ran gives another answer as well, why we wouldn't accept the Migri in that case. But here we're talking about anyway, he's saying she's a Shruya, which anyway, if true, would passel her from both Kahuna and Truma. So we should see whether there's a possible Migri for him, and therefore we should believe him. So again, based on what we said, there might be, at least according to one understanding of Rabbi Akiva, there may be a way that he has a Migri where he could passel her with Kahuna and yet Kedushin or Teufis. So the answer is Amar of Ashi. So now all of this discussion so far was based on the idea of biyodai or loy biyodai. That we said that when she's a Tana, it's biyodai to accept kedushin on her behalf and to receive a get on her behalf. On the other hand, it's not biyodai when she's a Dola, and it's never biyodai as far as Shvuya. But now Rav Ashi is going to challenge that. Omer of Ashi Batisbara, how are you thinking? Reisha Mishum de Biyodehu? You're thinking that in the Reisha, the reason why we believe him is because it's all Biyodeh? Need to Biyodeh Lakadsha? Sure, he has the ability to accept Kedushin on her behalf. Biyodeh Lagarsha? Does he have the ability to divorce her? No, it's up to the husband to do that. All the father's role is that he can accept the get on her behalf. But oh, yeah. And not only that, Ilu Omer Hai, Ilu Omer Hai, suppose that this apostle person says he doesn't want to marry her. Would he be able to be Makadish his daughter to the guy? So it's not biyode to be Makadish or to apostle either. You're saying it's biyode to be Makadish or to apostle. That assumes the apostle himself, whether it's a Chai Ve'Lavin, Chai Ve'Eser, whatever, is willing to go along with it. Who says he's going to be willing to go along? So it's not biyode. So it's not a matter of biyode.
Yeah, as a guy would want, because he wants to be able to come through into the Yiddish.
No, because he's not going to be able to anyway. The children are either, according to Rabbi Akiva B'chlal, the children are going to be a mamzerim, and even not according to Rabbi Akiva. It's an Isser. Why should we assume that somebody else is willing to do an Isser?
You know, he's a mamzer already.
He's a mamzer, but all that means is the children are going to be mamzerim. It's not going to help him to marry a Bas Yisrael. At the end of our perek, we're going to learn there is one way that a mamzer can make his children be Tohar. It involves a Shifcha Knanis, but So no. So Rav Ashi says has nothing to do with biyodai or loy biyodai. Reisha Rachmana Heimle. The reason why in the Reisha we believe him to say that he received the get on her behalf, that he received kedushin and or get on her behalf, is Rav Huna. Is based on what Rav Huna says. The Amar Rav Huna Amar Nab Minayin La'av Shenem and Lesser is Bitim and Atorah. How do we know that a father has the ability in Atorah to say that his daughter was also Shenema as Bitim Asati La'isha Zeh? We have the expression he says that I gave my daughter in marriage to this man. Now you consider the word La'ish Hazeh. What if you were to say La'ish and then stop there? La'ish Osra. By saying the word La'ish would make her Osra. Because if you were to say Esbiti Nasati La'ish, then we'd have the case we had before on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, where he says, I received Kedushin for her, but I'm not sure from who. And then she'd be Osir. Hazeh Hitira, but when he says the word Hazeh, then he means this one was Makadasher, meaning she's also to everybody else, but she's Mutter to him. So we see, therefore, the father has a certain Nemonus, Minatorah, to Aser his daughter. So therefore, b'nisuin heimne rachmana la'ab b'shvuya la'heimne. Only when it comes to matter of nisuin, only when it comes to nisuin and then things related to that of gerushin, does the father does the Torah believe him? But as far as shvuya, the Torah doesn't give him any nemonus on that at all. Therefore, he's just like anybody else. So if he says she's a shvuya, we need some kind of evidence outside of what he's saying. So that would be the reason, not biyodei and shaloi biyodei, but rather because in the gzeiras hakosov that he has nemonus as far as her marital status, but not as far as her shvuya status.
This Rabbi Shaver the definition of Malchus.
Rabbi Shaver was one of the Asarado Gemalchus. Yeah, he was a chaber of Rabbi Akiva, which is why he calls him by his personal name, Akiva ben Yosef. Yeah. Okay, so that's that then. Mishnah says, Misha, oh, here's another case of nam monus, when we believe a person and not, as far as something that's going to affect his wife. Misha omer b'shas misosa yeshli bonim. A man says, as he's about to die, I have children. Therefore, my wife is not going to need yibum or chalitza. Nemon, then we believe him. Yeshli achim, on the other hand, if he says, I have brothers, and therefore, so now, until now, we didn't know he had brothers. Now, all of a sudden, he's telling us he has brothers. Therefore, she's going to need chalitza or yibum. Ain't a nemon, then we don't believe him. Now, why is that? So let's see. Alma, so we see from that, says the Gemara, nemon lahatir ve'in nemon lesser. So evidently, it seems that we believe the man when he's saying something that will make his wife mutter. When he says, I have children, that means, in other words, she's free to remarry anybody she wants. But on the other hand, to say that I have brothers, where we didn't know that he did until now, would mean that he's saying she's usur, and he doesn't have the ability to do that.
Having children from a different wife?
Doesn't matter. If he has children from any wife, even if he has children from Znus, it would still be considered, we learned this in Yevamos. Only if he has children from a goiter, from a shifa, are they not considered as children halacha. But if he has children even from another wife, or even from a znus, or whatever, then it would still be considered his children, and it patos his wife from Yevam. Yeah. Okay.
Nothing has to do with the guy, not with him.
Right. So the Gemara says, name him as nissin deloiket Rav Nosson. In that case, do we have to say then that our Mishnah does not go like Rav Nosson? D'tanya, because we learn in a braisa. Bishas kiddushin, when it comes to the time of kiddushin, when he's first being mekadesh the woman, omer yeshli bonim, he says I have sons. So therefore, in other words, when he's first being mekadesh the woman, he's saying, don't you worry, I have children. So even if we don't have children together, don't worry, you're going to need chalitza or yibum, because I already have children from an earlier marriage. And bishas misa omer ein loy bonim, and now when he dies, he says he has no children. Or the other way around, b'shas kedushin oma ein lo yachim. At the time of kedushin, he says, I have no brothers, so don't worry. No yibum or chalitza will be necessary because there's nobody for you to be a shemeres yavim with. B'shas misa oma yesh lo yachim. And when he dies, he says he does have brothers after all. So in all those cases, nemon lahatu ve'en nemon lesser. So in all those cases, we believe him to say she's mutter, but not to say she's also divrei Rebbe. That's how Rebbe says. But Rav Nosson, I'm af nemon lesser. But Rav Nosson says he is believed to aser her as well. So our Mishnah on the face of it doesn't go like Rav Nosson. And as usual, with a Stam Mishnah, we'd rather assume that it goes according to everybody. Omar Rava, shiny hosam. So Rava says that case in the Braisa is different. Kibin de b'shas misa kahodobe, because he's changing his mind, he's retracting what he said when he dies, it's very possible that he's telling the truth. He knows he's about to go in front of the Beis Din Shamayla. He doesn't want this hanging around his neck that he caused his wife to do an Isser inadvertently. So therefore, now he may be fessing up to the truth in order to say that she's also, and we should believe him. Chalitza. Yeah, therefore she'd need Chalitza or Yibum. On the other hand, in our Mishnah, where he never said to begin with that she's mutter, then maybe even Rav Nosson would agree that we can't believe her, that we can't believe him, because maybe he's only doing it in order to make her feel bad or something. In other words, it's one thing if he himself had told her years earlier, I have no brothers, so therefore she's thinking, good, my husband is going to die soon, unfortunately, but at least then I'll be off the hook. Now he doesn't want that hanging around his head, so therefore he tells her, actually, I do have brothers, after all. But if he never told her in the first place, even Rav Nosson agrees that he might just be saying that Stam to harass her. But Omri Abaye V'lav Kol D'Kein, Abaye says, V'lav Kol D'Kein, who, isn't it a Kabbal Choymer? Hashta. A Kol D'Kein is another way of saying Kol Shekein. We often find Dalet in Aramaic corresponds to a Shin, the prefix Dalet in Aramaic corresponds to the prefix Shin in Lashon Kodesh. So Kol D'Kein is like Kol Shekein. So isn't it a Kol Shekein? Hashta Uma Hosim to Kamara Laila Dibure. Consider, in the case of the Braisa, the father had originally said his wife is Potter from Chalitza or Yibum. Now he's ruining what he says to begin with. And you say he's exposing himself as a liar. Amrit Kushta Ka'amar, and you're telling us, nevertheless, we have to assume he's saying the truth, so he doesn't have to go in front of the Beis Din Shamayla with that on his head. Masnissin Deloy Kamara Laila Dibure. In the case of our Mishnah, and he never told her anything in the first place. Loy Kol Shekein, how much more so we should accept, we should rely on what he's saying. Not only is he accomplishing by that, that he's saving her from an Isser, but we're not even going to say, he's embarrassed to say it because he's going to expose himself as a liar before. He never said anything before. So Adrabba, Kol Shekein, we should believe him. Elo, Amar Abaya, Masnissin. Rather, Abaya says, no, the difference between our Mishnah and the Braisa, Masnissin v'loy muchzak lon ba'achi v'loy muchzak lon b'boni. The case of our Mishnah, we didn't have any chazaka until now that he had brothers or he had sons. Now, because he has no brothers, therefore the chazaka was that she doesn't need Yibum or Chalitza. Omar Yeshli Bonim Neman. Now, if he says I have children, then he is Neman. Because now, therefore she's mutter. To that extent, we believe him to be mater. But if he says yeshli achim, now he wants to take, in other words, because if he says I have son, that reinforces the chazaka we had. The chazaka we had is she's not going to be skuka liyavam. And now, if he says I have children, that reinforces that chazaka. Now, the result of it is the good of him saying that is if later on somebody else comes and says I'm his brother, we're going to tell him doesn't mean you need chalitza or yibum. He already has children. We already have his say so that he has children. He's making his case stronger. On the other hand, yeshli achim ain't a neman, but if he says I have brothers, where now he wants to change her chazaka before she had chazaka that she's potter from that. Now he wants to change it and say she's chayev ain't a neman. We don't believe him. Lav kol kamine, because he doesn't have the ability to make her also to everybody else, because until now she had a chazaka that she was mutter, and here he wants to change that chazaka, so we need something more than his say so. On the other hand, Braisa, the muchzak lon ba'achi, the Braisa is talking about we already have a chazaka that he had brothers, which means, in other words, so again, there's no Adim, there's only a chazaka ba'alma. We have the people have heard before the Kedushin that he had brothers. He never said so, unlike in Rava's explanation where he actually said, I have brothers, and now he wants to retract it or whatever. Or he said, I have no brothers, or whatever. Here we're not talking about it. He said it, he never said anything, but we've heard before he ever was Bekadosher that he had brothers. We didn't have a chazaka that he had children. So now he says, I don't have brothers or I have sons. So do damin and mali the shaker, because now we say he has a migri. He has a mali the shaker, my comma, because why would he be saying that he has children? He's doing it in order to pater her from needing yibum. Well, there's another way he could accomplish that. Motzi ama patana lach begitta. He could say, I'll give you a get which will take effect shortly before I die. And whatever that whole thing, different Rishonim discuss the exact details over here. Are we talking about Rashi says he could give her a get that will take place samuch lemisasi, that will take place shortly before he dies. Tosfos discusses that he would give her a get that could be chal whenever he wants. The Rashba says that he would tell her he wouldn't write a get now, but he would promise her that shortly before I die I'll write you a get. Whatever the case, he has biyode to do that. So he has a migui. So now when instead he says that when he says I have children, meaning you're potter from yibum, we can believe him, even if it's not true that he has children. Nevertheless, he has a migui, because instead he could have done something else to potter her from yibum, namely divorcing her, and therefore we can believe him with the claim of yeshli bani.
Well, to divorce, I don't know if there's an option, because no one knows bidyamin misa.
That's true.
Unless he wrote a get.
Right. So again, why you have the different understandings. That's why we have the different understandings. Are you talking about that he says that I'm going to write a get now and it'll take effect samuch lemisasi? Or are you talking about he says he could write a get anytime he wants? He doesn't even have to wait until he's close to Misa. Or is it fine? You have to be sure, and we'll learn that it means that he's promising her that he's going to write her a get sometime before he dies. Whatever the case, therefore, that's enough for a migui. So now when he says that he has sons or he doesn't have brothers, and then therefore that would be reason enough to believe him, because either of those claims is meant to pater her from Yibum, and he has a migui that he would have had a different way of patering her from Yibum. So that would explain. So in the Braisa, Rav Nosson would say that we would believe him lesser, because to begin with, there was no chazaka that we had a chazaka that he had brothers and no sons. So now Rav Nosson is saying, just because he says I have sons, Rav Nosson is going to say that's not that we don't have enough of it. Rebbe is going to hold. So here is the machlokes. Rebbe saw the mali v'shaker. So Rebbe holds he has a migui. That is the equivalent of Adim. Rebbe says that a mala the shakar, a migri, has the force of Edim. So therefore, so for also Edim, the akri chazaka. So now, in effect, the Edim, the meaning the chazaka, which is the equivalent of Edim, comes and that undoes the chazaka. So till now, we had a chazaka that she was potter from chalitza or yibum. Now the edus, namely the fact that he's saying, the fact that he has a migri, takes that away and makes and that removes that chazaka and creates a new chazaka that she's potter from chalitza or yibum.
Because until now
we had a chazaka that he has brothers, but now he's saying I have sons, which that undoes the previous chazaka, makes it that now she's potter from chalitza or yibum. So Rebbe says that's good enough. In fact, by the way, the Gemara does tell us elsewhere that a migri is not effective against Edim. So that's, in other words, the Rashba explains, because he could divorce her right away, so therefore that's a very strong thing. And then the Ritva brings a couple of other reasons why we should say this migri is stronger than the other ones. One of them is Einanim Choyte V'loy Loy. We learned before, a person's not going to do an Avera where it's not even going to benefit him personally. What would it benefit him to say that his wife is Potter from Chalitza or Yibum when he's not going to gain anything by it because he's dead? So therefore we have more reason to say that he's going to tell the truth.
Yeah, but he doesn't want his wife to have to go with marriage some jerk.
I understand, but nevertheless, the point is, it's still v'loy loy. It's still not really for himself. So it's for somebody else. So if he's not telling the truth, he's not going to do that. And there's a few other reasons. It's something that we can find out the truth, and so it's not something a person is less likely to. A person is less likely to lie about such a thing. And another point he says also is that b'chlal, when a woman's husband dies, usually there's a chazaka that she's mutter to marry whoever she wants, unless we find that she needs yibum. And here, therefore, we need therefore when the husband says she's potter from yibum, we have good reason to believe him. Anyway, that's according to Rebbe. V'Rav Nosson Tzava Mali the Shaker Ki Chazaka Dami. Rav Nosson holds Mali the Shaker is only the equivalent in strength of a chazaka. Loy osi chazaka v'okra chazaka l'gamri. Therefore, the new chazaka, Mali the Shaker, doesn't completely remove the original chazaka where we had a chazaka that she has to do yibum because we knew before he had brothers. So on the one hand, we could say, sure, we could say Eidonim Choyte V'loy Loy, and we could say all of those things, but nevertheless, Rav Nosson says it's still not strong enough to. So now Rashi adds, if he had not changed his mind, if he had not said anything, before he died, then we would still we would say. So if, in other words, if we didn't have before chazaka that he had brothers, and now he says he does, then fine. Then we could believe him. But here, where we had a chazaka before that he has brothers, and now when he dies, he's claiming he doesn't have brothers. Rav Nosson says that's not really good enough. Okay, Tosfos also discusses over here various ins and outs of it. How can we believe what he says b'shas kedushin and use that as a basis for what he would say later? So Tosfos discusses another way of understanding the migri is that he could conceivably write her a get as soon as he does the kedushin and then hold on to that get for later. Now it is true that would be a get yoshan that we learned in Masechta Gittin. That's called get yoshan, and you're not supposed to use it for divorce. Nevertheless, but the yevid it works, and therefore that would be a migri that would work.
Yeah, but if he writes a the same type of get that they go to war, that's a kosher.
Right. Well, that would be a conditional get. Here we're not talking about conditional. Here we're talking about he writes a get. He holds on to it and he uses it whenever he wants. So it's a get yoshin, but it would still be kosher. That's how it is. But that's another way of understanding the migri over here, which Tosfos says. So now the point is that way we also have a way of reconciling the Braisa with the Mishnah, because the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about two different cases. Abaye says the Mishnah is talking about we never had any chazaka that he had sons or brothers. So now he's saying I have sons or I have brothers. We can talk about when we believe him and when not, because one reinforces the chazaka and the other one cancels it. Whereas the Braisa is talking about there was already a chazaka that he has brothers and not that he has sons. So now Rebbe is going to say he has a mala l'shaka. Rebbe says that's strong enough to undo the chazaka. And Rav Nosson says it's not.
So one says you could say he has, and when you say that children, you believe him. And other words,
I said therefore, Rav Nosson would say when he says he has children, you can believe him. But when he says he has brothers, then no. Rather the other way around. Rebbe says you can believe him Which is huge. The Braisa was that he said Bashas Kiddushin. He said, I have no sons, and Bashas Misa Bashas Kiddushin. He says, I have sons, Bashas Misa. He says, I don't. Or the other way around, Bashas Kiddushin. He said, I don't have brothers, Bashas Misa. He said, he does. But we're talking about, Abaya says, in the case of the Braisa, never mind what he said, we have a chazaka that he has brothers and he doesn't have sons. So now we have to consider, well, there's what he said when Kiddushin, there's what he said now, what he says now before he dies, to what extent does he have a migui on that that can undo the chazaka? Okay. Mishnah says, Hamakadosh is bitoy stam, when a man accepts Kiddushin on behalf of his daughter stam without specifying which daughter, ain't a bogeres b'chlal, the girls who are already a bogeres, who are already 6 months after Shtei Cyrus, are not included because they're not in his reshus. So therefore, those daughters would still remain mutter to everybody else. Another case, Mish yesh le shtei kitei bonis b'shtei noshim. Suppose a man has, we've learned this before in connection with the sugya of Kiddushin shle nimsir l'biyah a couple of weeks back. Mish yesh le shtei kitei bonis b'shtei noshim. Mish yesh le shtei kitei bonis b'shtei noshim. A man has two sets of daughters from two different wives. So he has from his first wife, he has Rachel and Leah. From his second wife, he has Bilhah and Zilpah. But Omar, he says, Kiddushti es biti agdola. I accepted Kiddushin on behalf of my Gdola daughter. We don't mean Gdola as in Begeris, but we said, Eina Begeris Bechlau, but we mean his older daughter. The Eni Yadea in Gdola Shabagdolas. Now he says, I don't know which one of them. Does it mean the eldest of the oldest group? So that would be Leah, let's say. Oi Gdola Shabagtanis. Or do I mean the eldest one of the second group, which would be Bilhah? Or maybe even it means the younger one of the first set, which would be Rachel. She gdolim and agdolus shebaktanis, because after all, she can be called gdola relative to the younger sister from the second one. Kolanasuris chutzman aktanus shebaktanis divrei the mayor. So the mayor says all of them are going to be osur except for the youngest of the young. The Zilpah will be mutter because there's no possibility that what he said it refers to her, but it could be that it refers to any of the three. Before, when we learned the sugya of Abaya and Rava and kedushin shema nimsur labia. We had that we may have to explain on Mishnah that we had over there the question of Kiddushin Shle Nimsir Labia. When you have Kiddushin, where Bia is going to be impossible, as in this case, maybe the man was Makadish, one of the daughters, and therefore all of them become also to him because they're all sisters. So is that even considered valid Kiddushin or not? So we said that, So according to Rava, we have to say, and we're going to mention that in our Gemara over here, it means that originally he knew which one would accept that he received the Kiddushin on behalf of, and later on he forgot it. So therefore, at the time, it was Kiddushin Shemesur and Labia, because had everybody remembered what's going on over here, then fine, he was Makadish Leah, and that's that. He goes and marries Leah, and the rest of them are off limits to him, because here the father forgot afterwards whether it was Leah or Rachel or Bilhah, therefore that's why we're saying they're all Asur. According to Abaya, you don't need that. According to Abaya, Kiddushin Shle Nimsur Labia are valid Kiddushin. Therefore, according to him, it doesn't matter even if to begin with, when the father received the Kiddushin, he said, I'm receiving it on behalf of Biti Agdola, then automatically the mayor says three out of the four girls are included in that suffix. Yeah. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, Kulan Matoris, Chutman Agdola Shabagdolas. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says, only Leah is going to be also because a man is not going to do something in a Lashon of suffix of that. Where he's basically we've learned before, and we're going to learn in the Gemara that Reb Meir holds Mochis Inish Nafsha Sveka. A person can express himself in a way which is going to end up being a suffix, and Reb Yossi is going to say that not. He's going to say something in a clear, unequivocal way. So therefore, when he says Gdola, Reb Yossi says it means the Gdola Shabagdolas, means the eldest of the oldest group. So Leah only. Okay. Similarly, Kiddushti as Bityak Tana. Similarly, if he says, I accepted Kiddushin on behalf of my Ktana daughter, and the Ein Yadeya Maktana Shabaktana is Oy Ktana Shabagdolos, I don't know whether it means the youngest of the young, Zilpah, or the youngest of the older set, which is Rachel. Oy Gdola Shabaktanis, Shiktana Minaktana Shabagdolos, or even it means the elder one of the younger set, which would be Bilhah, who after all is younger than the older set. Then here you have the opposite case. All of them are going to be also except for Leah, because there's no way that you can call her Ktana. Divid Amir. Again, that's what Amir says. Rabbi Yossi and Makor Matoris puts him in Akhtanash and Akhtanash. And Rabbi Yossi says all of them are going to be also, all of them are going to be Mutu except for the youngest of the young, because he's the one that it meant Tana. By the way, the Beis Yosef points out over here that in this case also, if among the girls in the two sets there are bogris, the same thing would apply. As we said before, ain't a bogris b'chlal, you still can't say that Tana or Gdola respectively would mean them, because again, they're out of his reshus to accept Kedushin on behalf. Not everybody agrees with that, but the Beis Yosef says the logic is, again, since the Gemara is going to say that he's not going to overlook the one that's his mitzvah to accomplish her kedushin, namely when she's a ketana, and instead do for the begeris where it's not so much his mitzvah anymore. So therefore, we can assume that in this case also, even though he used the words gdola or ketana, and conceivably that could mean even ones that are above the age of begeris, we don't assume that, and we say they're out of the picture. We only have to consider the ones that are below that age.
He wouldn't be allowed to do the begeris.
So that not so much that he's not allowed to. If she makes him a shliach, as we're going to say in the Gemara, then he can accept her kedushin. But we don't assume that's who we meant. Tosfos, by the way, also points out earlier when we had this again in connection with kedushin nimsu labia, Tosfos had mentioned the possibility over there. Why don't we assume that the lawyer also came in pemenu, that like Lavan says to Yaakov, you marry off and a younger daughter before an older one. So an older one, you marry off an older daughter before a younger one. So maybe that should be reason enough to say that. Maybe that should be reason enough to say which one it was. And then Tosfos brings over there at a case involving a Menachem Miyuni, one of the Balei Tosfos, where he actually wanted to paskin on the basis of that. Therefore we know which one it was. But then Rabbi Natam argued with him, and then Tosfos discusses over there how in the end the halacha doesn't necessarily take that into consideration. It's true that Lo Yosef came in Pemenu, but nevertheless it can happen that you makadosh them out of order. So the Gemara says so what are you saying? Hoktanis v'chlal. So you're saying that you're saying in the beginning of the Mishnah that boigris are not included. When he says I received kedushin on behalf of my daughter, we're saying the boigris are not included, but the ketanis are. Shamat minok kedushin chain masun labia have a kedushin. Would that show like a bayah that said that kedushin shal nimsu labia are valid? Because that would be the case. A man was makadosh one of the daughters. If we don't know to begin with which one it was, all of them are going to be also to him, because any one of them might be achos ishtay. And nevertheless, we're still saying ain't a burgris b'chlal, implying so the man has. Let's say, so the man has three daughters who are ketanis, let's say, and one daughter who is a begeris. So we're saying, fine, we don't assume he received kedushin for the begeris, but it could be any of the three ketanis, but that would be valid kedushin, it sounds like. But according to Abaye, so that would work according to Abaye, it wouldn't work according to Rava. According to Rava, the kedushin shouldn't be valid in the first place, because lo nimsu labia. To begin with, the kedushin were made in such a way that bia is going to be impossible, because any one of them might be his wife, and the other ones are achos ishtay.
So
the whole thing shouldn't be kedushin in the first place. The answer is, Rava would say the case of the Mishnah, at the beginning, the first case of the Mishnah, there was only one gdola and one ketana. So therefore, obviously, it means the gdola is not included, the begeras, only the ketana, and therefore there's no suffix who it is, because there's only one ketana. Well, the Gemara asked about boigrois katani. The Mishnah had said boigrois in the plural, implying that there's more than one daughter over here. The answer is, means my bogris de alma. We mean in general, we mean all the bogris that exist in the world. We don't mean bogris as in this particular man's daughters who are bogris. We mean the whole concept of bogris.
That's how you call it, bogris.
Okay, the Gemara says, well, then pshita. Well, then obviously, if there's only one older daughter and one younger daughter, then the kedushin are, then obviously it means only the ketana. Bogris my avitaya. Well, then what does the father have to do with the bogris? He can't accept kedushin on their behalf. And the answer is Hoch Maiskin and Shavisi Shliach. The case the Mishnah could be talking about where the Begeris, the one daughter who is a Begeris, appointed her father a Shliach to receive Kedushin on her behalf. So now you could argue when he receives Kedushin, he might have her in mind. Therefore, the Mishnah is telling us, a person is not going to set aside something where he has a Hanah from it, where it's a Ketana, he receives the Kedushin, he keeps the Kedushin himself. And do something where he doesn't have hanah from it, namely by a begeris, where he doesn't get to keep the kedushin. He's only doing it as a shliach.
On the other hand, he gets rid of.
One second. The Gemara asks, Mila Askin and Da'omila Kedushai Loch. Couldn't there be a case where she says, you know what, you can keep the money of Kedushin, so then he does have a monetary Hanah? And the answer is, Afilo Hochi, even so, the Shabbat Inish Mitzvah de Ram Yale, a person is not going to ignore a mitzvah that's incumbent on him to marry off his daughter of when she's of the age, but of mitzvah, the leiram yaleh, and do the mitzvah, which is not really so incumbent on him. Once she's a begeris, it's really up to her herself to arrange her own marriage, and therefore he's not going to do that in preference to his younger daughter, where he still has the mitzvah of marrying her off at the proper age.
That's true, because he's still working on shlichus for both of them.
No, but the point is, if he says, I don't know which one, then if he said, obviously, if he says he receives kedushin on behalf of the older one, then fine. But he was saying, I receive on behalf of one of them, I don't know which one, then we should assume it's only the ketanas. And again, according to Rava, it would have to be there's only one ketana. According to Abaye, there could be many ketanas.
That means all the ketanas would be a problem.
And all the ketanas would be according a problem. To according to Abaye, yeah. Well, the halacha is like Abaye in the end, yeah.
Okay.
Now, we said... In the Mishnah, we said in the Mishnah, Mishiyash l'shtei kitei bonus. We have the various cases where a person has two sets of daughters, and we mentioned Gdola, and we mentioned the case where he says, I was Makadish the Gdola versus I was Makadish the Ketana. And in both cases, Reb Meir says three of the four girls are included in the Suffolk, and Reb Yossi says only one of them. So now, why do we need both cases in the Mishnah? Once we say it by Gdola, shouldn't it be obvious the same thing as Trubak Tana? So the Gemara says, Tzricha. We need to be told both cases. If we were only told the first case about the Gdola, you would say, Bahach Kamar Reb Meir. You know why? Reb Meir says that Gdola includes three of the four of them. The fact is, there are younger daughters. Leah has a younger sister, Rachel, and younger half-sisters, Bilhah and Zilpah, and so forth. Rachel has younger sisters, Bilhah and Zilpah, and so forth. So therefore, Lahach Gdola Karila. So it's normal to call her Gdola, as in other words, you use the word Gdola, not necessarily to mean my eldest daughter, but my older daughter. But when it comes to the Ketana, it's not normal for we don't expect that a father would call his daughter Ketana just because she has older siblings. Maybe he would agree that Rabbi Yossi, the Ketana, Lahach Ketana de Kodo Korila, that the word Ketana refers only to the youngest out of all the young daughters. The word Ketana would mean the youngest and not younger. The Iik by Baha. And on the other hand, if we only had the Machlokas in the case of Tana, you would say Baha Ka'amar Rabbi Yossi. Maybe only Rabbi Yossi says there that it's only the youngest one, because Tana usually refers only to her. Abba Bahaf, but when it comes to Gdola, Ema Modele, the Rabbi Meir, maybe you would agree with Rabbi Meir that the word Gdola can mean not the oldest, but older, Tzricha. So therefore, we need to be told both parts of the Machlokas in both cases. Reb Meir is going to hold that it includes all three of them, that includes three out of the four, and Reb Yossi is going to say it includes only one out of the four. Because in both cases, Reb Meir is going to say Gdola means any older one, and Reb Yossi is going to say Gdola means the oldest one. And similarly with Tana, Reb Meir is going to say it means any younger one, and Reb Yossi is going to say it means the youngest. Yeah. So therefore we need both cases, and now we'll continue in the Gemara tomorrow to analyze their machlokas and say actually you know what nobody's here anyway, we may as well continue a few more lines, fine. So the Gemara asks lememra did a mayor sava machish inish nafshalas feka. So are you telling me that mayor holds that a person will put himself into a case of suffolk? A person might do something or say something that's unclear, and that puts him in a case of suffolk, and Rameyer says he might do that anyway. So therefore here he has three out of his four girls are potentially Makodesh and are going to require a get. And nevertheless, Reb Meir says a person might do that. But Reb Yossi Sava Loy Machis Inish L'Sveika, and Reb Yossi holds that a person is not going to do that, put himself in a suffix. But Ibchashamim Lahu, don't we find Reb Meir and Reb Yossi saying exactly the opposite? The Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah in Nedarim, Hanoder Ada Pesach, if a person makes a neder that he's going to be also in something until Pesach, also Ad Shiagia. And it means he's also until Pesach comes. Once the first night Pesach comes, then he's mutter. On the other hand, if he says ad sheyehei Pesach, if he says until Pesach is, so that implies as long as Pesach still exists, then he's aser. So then it would be ad sheyetze, then it would be only when Pesach is over. What if he says ad pnei Pesach? What if he says until the face of Pesach? So it could mean, so pnei could be like lifnei. On the other hand, pnei could be as long as the presence of Pesach, as long as Pesach is present. Or not so much present, but the word pnei rather could be a day that's before another day. The first day Pesach is before the second day. The second day is before the third day. Maybe he means until a day when there's no before to talk about because Pesach is over. So now you have Reb Meir Oimer also Ad Sheyagia, Reb Yossi Oimer Ad Sheyetze. So Reb Meir says he's going to be also only until Pesach begins. Because then once it begins, it's not Pnei HaPesach anymore. Meaning, in other words, Ramey was saying, Loi Mochus Inish Nafshalas Veka. Yes, the word Pnei HaPesach can mean a day which is before the next day of Pesach, but Ramey says that's not what it means. Pnei HaPesach means until the presence of Pesach is seen. As soon as the presence of Pesach is seen, meaning, in other words, he's saying, in effect, Pnei is the equivalent of Lifnei. So therefore, as soon as it's not before Pesach anymore, as soon as Pesach has started, then the neder is over, because Loi Mochus Inish Nafshalas Veka. Rabbi Yossi is saying, Ad Sheyetze, until Pesach is over, which sounds like he says, a person will put himself in a suffix. When he says Pnei HaPesach, it could conceivably mean any day where there's another day of Pesach yet to come, and therefore it's Pnei HaPesach, there's still a Lifnei over here. So we see Rabbi Yossi says a person will express himself in a way that involves a suffix. So you would have to flip around the Tanoim in the Mishnah, in one of the Mishnayos, Rashi says, in the Mishnah in Nedarim, you would have to flip around and say Rabbi Meir would be the one who says he's also until Pesach is over, and Rabbi Yossi would say he's also only until Pesach begins, and then it would be consistent with our Mishnah.
This way, you don't have a steer for
and that we don't have a steer. And in fact, the Gemara says, Vaha Tanya, and indeed we learn a Braisa like that. Zaklal, you have a rule like this, Kol Shizmane Kavua. Anytime you have a fixed time, for example, Pesach, we know it comes on a certain date and it lasts for a certain number of days. Omer Ad Pnei. If he says ad pnei, until the pnei of that thing, then Rameo says until that time is over, and Rabbi Yossi says until it begins. So we see, in other words, that would be the exact opposite of the way the Mishnah, of the way it's presented in the Mishnah and the Darim. So you'd see we have to flip around the opinions there. On the other, so that's that. So you flip around the opinions, and therefore that makes it consistent.
You take a Mishnah, which is solid.
So you take a Mishnah and you change it because we have a Braisa. It's true. Sometimes the Gemara will say that. So what? You're changing a Mishnah because of a Braisa. But here, where we also have not only it fits with the Braisa, but also if we said the way we have it in the Mishnah and Dorim, it contradicts our Mishnah, then yes, we're going to do that. You have a few other places in Shas also. You have in Sukkah, for example, you have an example where you have a Machlokas, Rebbe Eliezer, and the Chachamim, and the Gemara on the basis of a Braisa flips it around. So you have once in a while we do that, yeah. Okay, so then we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and we'll talk about more analysis of Rebbe Meir's and Rebbe Yossi's respective opinions and what we say in each case. Shabbat, everyone.